Well, it's a good time to be a Jayhawk fan. Jayhawks, their football team is 2-0 after knocking off Illinois last Friday night, 34-23. Here to talk about it, the voice of the KU Jayhawks, Brian Haney. Brian, how you doing on this Thursday?
Doing great, my friend. Certainly excited about this team's start and hopeful and very confident heading into week three that they can extend it. A lot of different vibes around this Kansas campus, quickly becoming a football and basketball school. We had 46,000 strong, which is about 1,000 shy of capacity last week. And it's my hope and expectation that if they go out and handle their business this Saturday night at Nevada, you'll come back a ranked team, hopefully in front of a sellout crowd for your Big 12 home opener versus BYU. So that's what's in front of these guys the next couple weeks. And yeah, very exciting to see the position that coach has put this team in.
Well, it was also exciting to see Jalen Daniels back and on the field. Sounded like he played extremely well considering he missed week one. What were your impressions of his play?
Yeah, I thought he was very sharp. I mean, maybe one or two throws he'd like to have back, but otherwise no signs of rust. And this is up against a defense that was tops of the country a year ago in scoring defense. And so he jumped into the deep end of the pool right away. There was no easing into his junior season because you're taking on maybe the best pass rush you'll face all year, doing so without many reps in the month of August and, you know, limited reps heading in the entire preseason. And so he, I thought, handled himself very well against a very tough test. I mean, I think maybe Texas on the road in a couple of weeks will be comparable or tougher given the road venue, but in terms of just defensive personnel breathing down his neck, that may be his toughest challenge all season. And so to see how efficient he was and the way the Kansas offense just did not miss a beat. I mean, his first drive, they marched right down the field and score. He's in the end zone to Torrey Lachlan, quicker than you could say Rock Chalk, and kept it coming. I mean, it's 21-0 before Illinois even dents the scoreboard. And then when they finally did, and there was 41 seconds left on the first half clock, Jalen gets the ball back and engineers a 36-second scoring drive that stole all that momentum right back. And that's when Coach Bielema said the game was lost for Illinois, was when Kansas, you know, saw what the Illini had worked so hard to get, finally scoring for the first time in the entire half, and then made it look so stinking easy. Three or four plays later, they're right back in the end zone. That's when, you don't say their spirits were broken because they put up a good fight down the stretch, but that's when Kansas essentially put their foot on the throat and made sure it was out of reach. And so pretty impressive to see that and you know, not see any signs of the layoff or the rust given how much the back had kept him out in the month of August.
One thing a quarterback loves, there's lots of things a quarterback loves. One, protection, plenty of time to throw. Loves his offensive lineman when he has time to throw. But the other thing that is a really good friend of a quarterback, you can turn and hand it off, and your running game is effective. 262 yards rushing, Devin Neal, 10 carries, 120 yards, Highshell with a 100-yard game. I mean, the running attack sounds like was absolutely clicking pretty well against a Power 5 team in Illinois.
Yeah, it really was, and Devin just continues to impress. His 9.3 yards per carry is actually fourth in the nation right now. Highshaw, you know, is looking more and more like the explosive, powerful guy that you saw prior to the hip injury. And so those two combined to have arguably the best 1-2 punch at running back in the Big 12 Conference. I'm not saying it's Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson from a year ago at Texas, but it's similar in that you have a 1A and a 1B that could easily be a bell cow if they were on a different roster. And so the O-line's blocking well. The running backs are running with decisive, you know, holes they're hitting and sharp cuts and really look. And keep in mind, again, the defense they were up against, all the accolades from a year ago, to gash them for 262 on the ground and 542 overall against a defense that good says a lot about this offense right now. So no doubt, when you've got that ground game to complement Jalen, you can see why they're so excited here in Lawrence.
Brian Haney, the voice of the KU Jayhawks, every Thursday, brought to you here on the Sports Ticket. As always, by Anderson Insurance Agency, they have farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them today at 738-5701. The defense. And one of the things that really stood out when I looked at the box score, because, once again, I was doing high school football, so I couldn't watch the game play by play. six sacks from the defense and, you know, 3.5 minutes to go in the third quarter, Illinois only had 7 points. And I'm not saying that all the questions have been answered. Obviously, there's going to be some tests in the near future once you get in conference play and find out how good this KU defense is. For me personally, you know, I'm kind of cautiously optimistic in regards to, I totally agree with you, the offense can be explosive, but I think that the offense is going to have to win a few shootouts this year to get to 8-4 or 9-3 or whatever it might be that people are predicting for them. What about the defense through the first two games and how they played on Friday? And like I said, the number that stands out to me, not being there in person, was six sacks.
Yeah, six sacks for the first time since 2009.
Wow.
That really stands out. Back-to-back nine tackle for loss games, that stands out.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to Coach about this last night on Hawk Talk and Jeremy Robinson, too, who's one of our outstanding defensive ends, that 2 years ago, or I guess just, you know, one offseason ago, we were talking about the receiver core at Kansas after Kwame Lassiter left and wondering, what do we really have here? Like, are we going to be okay? Because these options don't look that proven, and we just lost a guy that caught, you know, 70% of our targets. And what's this going to be like?
Right.
And they wound up being fantastic. They wound up, you know, as an offense, scoring 36 a game, and you produced Luke Grimm, Lawrence Arnold, Quentin Skinner, who on any given Saturday could go for 100 yards and a score, and it looked like one of the more impressive pass-catching units in the league. Well, I think defensive end and the D-line in general is very similar this year, because we were all concerned about the loss of Lonnie Phelps, who left with a season of eligibility on the table to go to the NFL, and he was such a dynamic pass rusher. He looked the part. He looked like this ferocious, you know, rush end that struck fear into any opponent tackle. And we were kind of thinking, well, Jeremy Robinson's going to step up, yeah. And we got some transfer portal guys, but what do we really have? How good are they going to be? Well, Austin Booker, who you won't be able to watch until the third quarter because of the targeting call, but he was fantastic. And he has shown flashes ever since setting foot on campus. If you go back and listen to our reports a month ago, I said that might be the breakout candidate at the end at a very undetermined position group. In fact, I think when we were talking, I said that was the one area where I was most curious to see what it would look like. Well, 2 weeks in, they're passing the test with flying colors. Robinson's been better than anticipated. His three sacks in the first 2 weeks are actually fifth nationally right now, and it matches his entire sack total from a year ago. So he's been outstanding. And to me, that's the comparison of the previous offseason's question. You weren't sure, you were kind of nervous, and they end up being a bit better than you thought.
Yeah.
Defensively, secondary, you know, they've continued to make plays. Melo Dotson gets a pick. Quentin Lassiter gets an interception for a second consecutive week. That's really impressive. And then obviously, you know, you're talking about a linebacking core that still, you know, I think has margin for growth. You didn't have Tywan Berryhill last week. He was out. But there's definite star power there. J.B. Brown with two sacks he had on top of a guy like Craig Young in his second season out at Kansas. I think there's more still to come from that linebacking core, and maybe this is the week they really show out.
The targeting, obviously I don't think you want to go great in-depth of criticizing officials or anything like that. And you guys, and of course it helps when you win, so it's not as big of a topic, but it is impactful. The targeting calls that were in this game, because obviously with targeting, you end up having to miss the next, you have to miss a half of football. So if you have the first, second quarter of a game, you miss the second half. Or in this case, obviously, KU's got a couple of players going to miss the first half against Nevada late Saturday night, which you can hear on Z96.3 The Lake. Pregame at 9, late kick, 9:30. So I'm going to have to readjust my bedtime schedule to make sure I can stay up that late to watch that one, and I guarantee I will. But what about the impact of the carryover with those calls by the officials impacting the team into Saturday's road game against Nevada?
Well, it's huge, and, you know, this is a different week, and I'm not chalking anything up by any means, just assuming Kansas is going to win because they're such happy favorites. But if this had happened this coming Saturday and it took them away for the BYU opener, or if it happened to BYU and it took them away for the Texas game, you'd be devastated right now, because I just told you, Austin Booker is one of our best two pass rushers. Kobe Bryant has a chance to be an All-American. I mean, these are big losses, and, you know, no matter what you say, it's a pretty inexact science when you're talking about a split second of reaction time the angle changes constantly when the ball carrier is starting to get down themselves. If you think you're going for the midsection and they slide, suddenly you might hit them above the shoulders. Or, you know, in the case of Austin Booker, the week before he got in trouble for hitting a guy low, and he was told all week by his coaches, you got to go for the midsection. So he plows into the midsection about as dead on as you could possibly be, but they say he led with the crown of his helmet this time. And he's doing things that, you know, previous years are just good football plays, but in the last couple of years, in the name of player safety, these are suddenly, you know, plays that can get you knocked out of a game. And so it's tough. I feel for the players because I think in many cases they're making plays that they should be celebrated and cheered on for.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're also out for player safety, and I understand why we have the rule. It's just such a fine line, Wade.
Yep.
And it's easy for us armchair quarterbacks to say, oh, don't do that. But I'm telling you, the reaction time when you're running at full speed and you can't hit them too high, you can't hit them too low, you sure as heck can't let them run past you.
Yeah.
And you can't hit them, you know, too soft that they bounce off of you. Like, you want to stick them good so they don't keep running. And it just winds up being a really difficult conundrum to be in. You know, Lance Leipold did all he could to make compelling cases on the sidelines for his guys, and they certainly appealed the process. They got that appeal back on Sunday morning pretty quickly, saying the answer was no, and they weren't going to get some relief on the suspension. So good news is, like I said, you've got depth at both those positions, and this is a week where you're a heavy, heavy favorite. But, yeah, if that happens later in the season, and inevitably it will, that's a huge penalty. You know, I don't know. We're not going to sit here on Thursday morning and you know, debate the rules committee and that kind of thing. But I understand you're making your point, but maybe knocking a guy out for the rest of that game is message enough when it's such a difficult penalty to the fine line between an amazing hit, a great play, and something that gets you knocked out for the better part of two matchups. That, to me, just it seems like it's a little extreme. And I'll leave it at that. But Kansas did all they could to stand up for their players. They just didn't get the appeal granted this time, and they'll be okay. I think, you know, you'll see a little bit more. There's seven different DNs that rotate in anyway, so some of those back-end guys will step up. And then in that secondary, you know, Quentin's been rotating in a ton anyway, so Quentin and Mello will start. Kobe will sit. And the kid we call the Hawk Mamba, Kobe Bryant, he'll probably still come in and make a pick by the end of the night because, you know, he'll be looking to make up for lost time.
I'll just piggyback that thing one more thing, and you don't have to comment on it if you don't want to. But for me, I understand, just like you, the intent of it. But to me, I think it's common sense, and this would be, listen, your first one is a 15-yard personal foul, unsportsmanlike conduct, whatever you want to call it. Your first one's 15. Okay, because then a judgment call on the first one doesn't get you kicked out of the game immediately. It doesn't cost you the next game. If you do it twice, odds are one of those two is legitimate. Odds are. Now, I know both could be questionable, but you get a second one, then I'm cool with exactly how they enforce the rule. I just feel like it's too extreme when it can be one questionable situation and then boom, you're done. And so I'm with you. I think it's a little bit too extreme. Moving on to Nevada, coming up on Saturday. This is a team that's lost 12 in a row. They're 0-2. They've outscored 99-20. You said KU is a heavy favorite, but it is a road game. It is a late start. It's a different type of schedule. Sometimes you don't know how everybody's going to react. The first road game of the year. It doesn't seem like anybody should be too concerned about this matchup, but at the same time, you have an injury here or there. Next thing you know, it could be dicey. They're the underdog. They got nothing to lose. How do you look at this matchup on Saturday?
Well, first off, I like your suggestion for the rules committee, and it reminds me a lot of basketball, where you can get one technical foul and not be ejected, but if you get two technicals, well, then we got a problem. So I think you're definitely on the right path there. Let's get the NCAA on the horn, see if we can get this resolved by the end of the day.
Perfect.
But as far as the matchup goes, I think that, you know, it's a situation where they had a coaching change when Jay Norvell left for Colorado State, and they've just not recovered. He took some players with him. There was probably one recruiting class that left something to be desired. And even though in today's day and age of the transfer portal, you can rebound quickly, they're dealing with the after effects of his departure, similar to when Kansas fell off a cliff after Mangino was let go. And I think eventually they're going to get there. They were a very good football program not too long ago, But as you said, they've lost 12 in a row. Opened with a couple of wins last year, lost 10 to close it out consecutively. Lost two, including a blowout to an FCS school in Idaho, who's a good FCS team, but still lost to them a week ago. And so they're grasping right now. And here's the thing. They've still got major conference talent on their team because of the aforementioned transfer portal. They've got several offensive pieces at skill positions that come from Pac-12 schools. But this is still a team at Kansas. If they go out and handle their business, you expect to win and win going away, and maybe win in a fashion where Jason Bean is in at quarterback in the fourth quarter and you're able to kind of get some other guys off the field. As you said, though, it's a road game, and anything can happen in a road environment. We went a decade without winning on the road, so we're certainly not going to count our Jayhawks before they hatch. But I do think that Kansas, you know, in all phases, has a significant upper hand. They should win the matchups in the trenches where I think they're bigger and imposing, and I think that they clearly have the better skill position talent. So this is one of those where don't let them hang around and let the crowd of – it's a 30,000 capacity. I don't know how many are going to be there for the reasons we mentioned. Who knows? Maybe they do have a good turnout, but if it's only half full to begin with, don't let them start to have hope and belief in the stands. Don't let them start to have belief on the sidelines as this game creeps into the second half, if they're still lurking and within striking distance. You want to put the hammer down immediately and erase any possibility of we got this in the minds of these Nevada players. And if you do that, I think Kansas has a chance to win going away, and then you get a good night's sleep there in Reno. They're doing a rare night stay on this road trip because it's such a late game. Come back with your mind right, your body healthy, and ready to go for a Big 12 opener versus BYU that I think will be one to remember against a good football team in front of what should be a sellout crowd and their first ever game in their new Big 12 membership. So let's show them that life in Lawrence is tough after all for a Big 12 road team. I think when they got the schedule card, they probably thought, oh, yeah, Kansas football, we get to open there. That's better than opening in Oklahoma or Texas, right? Let's show BYU in a week that we do show up. We're loud and proud. We get after it. And our football team is something to be reckoned with as well. So that's what I think is at stake between now and when we talk next. And let's hope that Kansas, next time you and I talk, has a number next to their name as a ranked top 25 team that's off to a 3-0 start for the second straight year, something we hadn't done since 2009. And let's hope that, you know, we're talking about a marquee Big 12 matchup one week from today.
I love that line. Don't count your Jayhawks until they hatch. That was good. I like that. That was good stuff.
Oh,
right there. That was well done. Time for the off the wall question. I'm going to give you the exact same off the wall question I gave Ryan Lefevre, the voice of Wales, on Tuesday, and the exact question I gave Seren Petro of 810 WHB in Kansas City, our guest yesterday when we talked Chiefs. There's the hot dog race at the K. I know you're familiar with this. There's ketchup, there's mustard, and there's relish. And really, that's one of the few highlights that you get when you go to the K, the way the Royals have been playing this year, unfortunately. Although they do have some young players that may turn into great players. Bobby Witt Jr. seems to be one of those. But I digress. Ketchup, mustard, relish. Which one are you in the hot dog race? You have to be one. Which one are you, Brian Haney?
Man, red's my favorite color. Ketchup is the only one of those condiments I actually use.
Okay.
So I feel like red would be the obvious answer.
Okay.
But I usually like to go against the grain and shake it up a little bit.
Okay.
So I think I would take relish.
Okay.
And I would relish the moment of running on a professional field, but I would absolutely finish last. I'm a decent athlete when it comes to certain things, but straight on speed and sustained speed is not my bag. I thought you were going to ask if it was like a play-by-play guys race amongst like Wyatt, myself, Mitch, Ryan, something like that, who would win. Because here's the thing, I'm younger and I'm probably more fit than most, but I am slow. I was a great hitter in baseball as a kid, but my like going first to third was more like, let's hope he gets to second without getting hit by the cutoff man.
Yeah.
So give me relish just to be different.
Okay.
But don't count on me winning the race anytime soon. I would just hope I wouldn't do like a face plant flop.
Yes.
Which they get to the finish line and they're exasperated and they just crash on their face.
Which leads me to the two follow-ups that I asked Ryan and Seren as well. Ryan said relish. Seren said ketchup. So then the follow-up, you were going the right along the right lines, and maybe I should have done it the way you mentioned in regards to other play-by-play guys, but I kept it within house. So you are relish. Who on your broadcast crew, whether it's a supportive staff member, whether it's your color commentator, sideline reporter, who would be then mustard and who would be ketchup?
Oh, wow. First off, you know, V-Mac is not in his playing shape that he was, obviously, in 2007, but he still got it. And he would win the race no matter what color he was wearing. Let's put okay. him in ketchup and David Lawrence in mustard.
Okay.
But B-Mac, even though he might be carrying around a little more handsomeness than he had in 2007, I think he still would have the blazing speed. And David, even though David's now in his early 60s, I think when the competitive edge comes out, mm-hmm. even though I mean, I work out 6 days a week, I'm in pretty good shape, I think David would still beat me okay. because you just can't coach that motor and that extra degree of competitive fire. He would find a way. Would he be throwing elbows to you know, get off the blocks and get a couple extra links right out the gate? I don't know. But he's got a long wingspan. He's very strong. I watched him one time in a city rec league basketball game manhandle a guy. His final stat line was 6 points, 26 rebounds. So I would tell you, I think my cardio is better than those two right now, yeah. but I still say I finish last. It would go B-Mac, David Lawrence, me. But we'd have a heck of a good time doing it.
So you answered the two other follow-ups I had for the most part. I guess the last one I need clarification on then would be who is most likely to fall or embarrass themselves in those costumes, like go the wrong way, run into the wall, run into the dugout, trip and fall on their face. Are you insinuating that would be you?
I probably would be.
Okay. Because you're dragging a caboose behind yourself when you run, is what you told me earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's a little self-deprecating, but it's probably a whole lot of truth, too. So I'd probably be the most likely to faceplant.
Well, this is what I want to do. I'm going to have to talk to my connections at Kauffman Stadium and the Royals, and I'm going to have to get B-Mac, David Lawrence, and you for the hot dog race. How about maybe you guys do the hot dog race on KU Night at the K next year? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be fun. And you play this back, and yes. it'll be verbatim how I predicted.
Yes.
I promise you.
And if there's any wagering going on about this in the stands, I have inside information now on this. This would be great. It all is coming together for me. My master plan. My master plan's coming together. Don't count your Jayhawks until they hatch, though, Brian. So I need to be careful of some kind of wild card that I never thought about, like the costume smelling really bad and one of you just like passes out. You know, I can't count my Jayhawks until they hatch. I would have to apply that.
There you go.
Too.
Good usage. I like it.
Thank you. I stole it from you, that's for sure. Hey, man, I appreciate the time as always. Always fun having you on. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Have safe travels out to Nevada, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, buddy. Always a pleasure.
Take care. Talk to you soon. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. Always appreciate him on the show. Brought to you every Thursday by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.